Good evening and welcome to Art Waves. We don't have the news for you tonight because the news feed is out, but this is Bernadette Rule and you're listening to Indie 101. And my guests tonight on Art Waves are Beverly Leslie and Gordon Adams of the Strata Vocal Ensemble. Beverly Leslie began her studies with Gladys Whitehead, obtaining the silver medal for the highest mark in Ontario on the grade 10 vocal exam. She later studied with Paul Coates, earning her ARCT in vocal performance. She was a soloist for the Te Deum concerts for 14 years, which allowed her to specialize in Baroque music, and she's held soloist positions in various Hamilton-area churches and choirs. Critic Hugh Fraser once commented on the crystalline fragility of her lovely, beautifully trained voice, and that is a quote. She now sings for fun and for worship at McNeil Baptist. She was also crazy enough to assemble this wonderful group of singers called Strata, and she takes immense pride in their accomplishments. By day, she works in thrombosis research at McMaster University. And Gordon Adams has been involved in music education and leadership as well as professional music making throughout his entire adult life. He received his early musical training in instrumental and choral music as a member of the Salvation Army and more formally at the Royal Conservatory of Music, achieving an associateship ARCT in euphonium performance. Gordon continued his education at the University of Toronto, earning both a Bachelor of Music and a Master's of Music degree, and more recently a PhD from the University of Alberta. After some years as a freelance performer and teacher, he served full-time as Minister of Music at Forward Baptist Church in Toronto and Ellerslie Road Baptist Church in Edmonton, Alberta. From 2000 to 2006, Dr. Adams was associate professor and co-chair of the music department at Taylor University College in Edmonton, directing the choirs and teaching in the area of worship and congregational singing at Taylor Seminary. He's also taught at Ontario Bible, now Tyndale University College in Toronto, and Heritage Seminary at Cambridge, Ontario. In 2008, Gordon and his wife Louise moved back to Southern Ontario, and currently he conducts the Guelph Male Choir and Hamilton Strata Vocal Ensemble, teaches at Redeemer University College, coordinates worship at McNeil Baptist Church in Hamilton, serves on the board of the Summer Institute of Church Music, and leads workshops, seminars, and retreats to encourage and enrich churches in their congregational singing. And I can see that we are lucky to have gotten him here tonight on the program. Welcome to Art Waves, Beverly Leslie and Gordon Adams.
Thank you.
What amazing biographies you both have. This is incredible. I'd love it if we could start with a song so that people could hear the Strata Vocal Ensemble and then they'll know more what we're talking about. Is that okay with you too?
That would be great.
Yes. Carry on.
Okay. You want to tell us, Beverly, what the song is that we're going to hear first?
Sure. This is a Stephen Chapman composition from his Elizabethan Spring suite, and it's called The Urchin's Dance.
Okay, so that was The Urchin's Dance, sung by the Stratovocal Ensemble. Beverly Leslie, who founded the ensemble, is going to give us a little bit of the history of the group. But first, I'd just like you to tell us something about that song that we just heard.
Well, that was from our spring concert of 2011, and it was an all-Canadian concert. And that was just a rough recording during the concert, so it wasn't a professionally made recording. So you can hear all the squeaks of the pews and the coughing, but it is what it is.
Well, it does show off the power of the group, voices working together, so that's good. And we also might mention that everything we're going to play tonight, everything that you hear tonight, is going to be Canadian music.
Content.
It's all Canadian content, all written by Canadians and performed by Canadians, of course, as well. All right, so Beverly Leslie, tell us a little bit about the group and how it came to be and how you decided to found this.
Well, it kind of started from a summer group that we had for fun, and we would gather at somebody's home and sit in the backyard and have a beer and read music, and like, this is kind of what music geeks love to do. We just love to make music. So we all get together and sight read and have a beer and some snacks, and we'd have some fun. And I had been traveling into Toronto to sing with a group there, and I was getting tired of driving into Toronto. So I said, well, let's take this and see if we can make it happen. And so I invited that group from the summer to begin with. And so it started with just a small group of friends. Our first concert was in 2005, and we had 9 members, only 9 people in the choir. We had no conductor. And since then, we've just added slowly to try and sort of equalize balance. And when we got up to about 15 members, we decided that maybe we should start to look for a conductor, but we hadn't really any plans. And then Gord managed to, you know, have problems with his throat. And he had been singing with us as a tenor. He's a very fine tenor. But his throat didn't agree with the Hamilton air. And so he couldn't sing. And it didn't seem that they couldn't find anything that they could help him to be able to sing. And so we found out he had conducting experience. Well, it was kind of perfect.
You wouldn't let him go.
Yeah,
after
it was
that.
Kind of perfect. He kind of emerged from us, which is exactly, it was so organic. It was just perfect for us.
Well,
that's exactly what we needed.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, let's pull Gordon in here. So, Gordon, you can't sing anymore, literally?
Oh, it's unreliable. It's somehow allergies have attacked my vocal cords.
Yeah.
And it's literally day to day, you know. Like right now, I'm feeling a little bit croaky, and it changes with the environment. And so as long as I treat the symptoms, I just have to live with the fact that sometimes I can't sing as well as others. So that's not very useful to a choir.
It's not good when you're in a choir that's actually going to be performing and things like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So I guess last spring I said, you know, I'm not going to make it, so I'll sit and listen.
Yeah.
And then the call came to help with one of the pieces. Benjamin Britten's Ode to St. Cecilia needed a conductor to keep it together, and it was a really lovely experience for me, and the choir seemed to enjoy what was happening together, and the invitation was out, oh, let's do this some more. So here we are.
Okay, well, let's just back up for a second. First of all, you had 9 people singing in parts,
mm-hmm.
and you did not have a conductor. Now, that's pretty surprising to me to begin with. You don't mean nobody stood out front and started everybody off.
Absolutely, I mean that, yes.
I can't imagine it.
Well, someone would sort of beat us in, you know, and then we would continue from there. We'd all have eye contact, and we would just be able
to. So you'd stand in a semicircle and just keep an eye on each other.
That's right. And, you know, I mean, when you do that, you have to know the music inside out. You're not relying on someone else to cue you, so you have to have a certain amount of empathy with each other. And so it takes a lot longer to get ready for concert.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a wonderful experience, actually. That was my dream.
It's much akin to what happens in string quartets and brass mm-hmm. quartets and so on. You know, you just learn to work this out. But as it grows larger, it becomes much more interesting. There's a full-time group out in Vancouver, Musica Intima, that does this.
And okay, I've heard them on CBC.
Oh, they're just fabulous.
And they don't have a conductor.
No.
Okay, now, when you said just now, Beverly, it was my dream, did you mean having a group that didn't need a conductor was your dream?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've wrecked our dreams.
How does that make me feel?
You've wrecked our dreams. They're good.
But you know, we grew, you know, in an attempt to get a good balance, we grew and grew and grew. And, you know, people join Strata. People don't leave Strata. So, no, we have, once you get past about 15 or 16 voices, it's gets harder and harder to keep it together.
And the consensus in rehearsal is much more complex.
Yes. So we've just found that we were getting to be the size where we needed to have some direction. And we knew that we couldn't grow. Mm-hmm. We wanted to grow musically. And so we thought we really needed a conductor in order to facilitate that. So.
Okay, now when you say you wanted to grow musically, do you mean you wanted to be able to sing in more parts or just get better at what you did?
Just get better. We already sing many, many, many parts. Yeah.
And how many of you are in the group today?
We have 22 this year.
22?
22. It's marvelous.
Do you ever turn people away? Is there a point beyond which you just don't think you can?
We aren't going to get any bigger than this. This is it.
You've said.
Yes, we've defined that now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She's looking over at Gord.
Well, I'm the humble servant here. I don't define myself as the leader of the group by any means. I'm kind of the person up front, helping things to be efficiently rehearsed and thoroughly prepared and making many decisions, but not all of them. I don't want to sort of intervene in the consensus-driven group, which it has been. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have a conversation when we're talking about some details, and I'll say, what do you think? Would you like to do it this way? Or, you know, in terms of breathing, where to breathe, is this going to work for you? My approach is particularly to just, I mean, this has got to make sense for the singers. Mm-hmm. And when you have a smallish group, which is what we are, certain things will not work as well as if it was a bigger group in terms of where to breathe, the length of the phrase, the energy needed to carry it, and all those sorts of things. So we have a much more dialogic, I think, rehearsal than some choirs would.
A much more dialogic?
Yeah. I mean, in other words, I don't dictate everything by any means. We work it out.
As in dialogue. Okay,
yes.
I've never heard this word.
Maybe I just made it up.
So now let's back up again and talk about, so you have talked about your approach to leading the group, or you don't even want to use the word, conducting the group. Mm-hmm. How did you learn to be a choral conductor, Gordon Adams?
Well, I think I was part of my music program at University of Toronto. And at that time, Lloyd Bradshaw was the instructor there. He was around in the 60s and 70s very prominently as a choral personality, mm-hmm. in Hamilton area, too. I believe
he came down to
Bach Elgar for a while, did he not?
Yeah. I believe he was at Melrose. Probably.
Yeah, I think he was an organist down here, too. But anyway, and then I went back, did graduate school specifically in choral music education with Charles Heffernan. And I've just been conducting choirs ever since I can remember as being a responsible reasonably responsible adult.
So you've been singing in them and
singing
conducting.
Singing and conducting, yeah. It's just been the one constant thread when I look back at my musical life.
And when did that begin? When was the first choir you ever sang
in? I think the first choir that I actually led was in about 1978 in a small church in Agincourt. And it was just a raw, just bunch of people. Some of them could hardly sing.
Yeah.
But we just tried a few things and got it going. And then I went to Forward Baptist, and then there was a very well-developed choir program there. So I had youth choir, and there was a children's choir. I didn't have to lead that, but adult choir and youth choir. And then in Edmonton, we had upwards of four or five choirs, and it was a larger church. And so that was just a very exciting thing.
Oh, when was the first choir you sang in?
Oh, boy, when I was a little. In children's choir, my dad led it.
In
the Salvation Army. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've sung all my life.
So you come by this naturally.
Yeah.
Do you play instruments as well?
When I really began to take choirs more seriously and singing, I had to leave the brass playing behind. But I did pick it up a bit last year, played in the Redeemer Orchestra for a few concerts, but time is of the essence.
Yeah.
It takes time to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beverly, what about you? When did you first sing in a choir?
Oh, I was maybe, I guess you had to learn, be able to read, so I was maybe six or seven maybe.
Had to be able to read music to
read music to join the choir. So that was, you know, and that was at Melrose United. They had a fabulous musical program for a children's choir there. It was led by Glenn Dawson. And I always say she was my first singing teacher because I still remember her teaching us how to make a proper sound and, you know, and not in the throat, but, you know, high in the head.
Up in the head.
Yeah. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have that grounding right from a child. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure lucky. It helps develop your voice.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. Do you play any instruments, Beverly Leslie?
I do. I play a little bit the piano and a very little bit the cello, too. Yes, oh. I took up the cello in my mid-40s, and I'm very bad at it, but it's fun. I love it.
All right. Well, before we talk about learning a piece of music, let's listen to another track.
Okay.
Is that what you'd like to do?
That would be lovely. This is track number one for you. And this piece is actually written by Gordon. And and the text is by George Matheson. It's called Make Me a Captive. And I'll just read the text because...
That would be lovely.
It will help. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I sink in life's alarms when by myself I stand. Imprison me within thine arms, and strong shall be my hand.
Lovely. All right. Make Me a Captive with the Strata Vocal Ensemble, and the music was written by our own Gord Adams. Well, that was absolutely gorgeous. That was the Strata Vocal Ensemble singing Make Me a Captive. Really beautiful.
Thank you.
That's as good as anything I hear on CBC in the choral concert. That's just lovely. Congratulations on this group.
Thank you.
Now, you're like 5 or 6 years old, you said?
Yes. Yeah, we started, our first concert was in 2005, I think it was, yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to have to get you to tell us about your concerts and so on. Tell us your website.
Okay, well, it's www.stratavocalensemble.ca. It's pretty easy.
Okay, and that's S-T-R-A-T-A,
correct.
Vocal Ensemble. Okay, so if you want to find out more about this group and find out what they have coming up, make sure that you go to that website. Okay, so that was written by Gord,
mm-hmm.
Not the words, but the music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you've got quite a group of people there, and you often are doing work, I guess, that people in the group have had some part
yes.
in writing or developing or arranging?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have, one of our members is Abigail Richardson, who is a composer. She's a full-time, a successful Canadian composer, which is very difficult.
Hard to do.
It's very difficult to do. And she teaches composition at U of T. And she also is or was the composer in residence for the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. So she's internationally acclaimed. She's an amazing woman. And we have done on occasion some of her pieces, which is always a thrill for us because her writing is so deep. It's really marvelous. And we have another piece that I'd love to play, and it is set to a poem that John Arno Lawson did. And he is a friend of Abigail and her husband, Michael Schultes. Michael and John Arno grew up together in Dundas. So it's a fanciful little thing. It's only 50 seconds long, so I'm sure we've got time to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll read the poem first because it's really quite cute. It's a child's poem, and it goes like this. Who's who? I'm me, you're you. We're we, he's he, she's she. So tell us what to do. Should he be she? Should she be he? Should I be me or you?
Okay, so we're going to hear that who's who right now. And hang on to your hats, it's very short. That's so cute. I love it. Now, obviously, it's a little bit longer than that, so it goes on.
Nope, that's it.
Just a little micro thing.
We actually did it twice in the concert. So that's Bernadette had to cut it off early because we had both tracks smashed into one track.
Okay,
so
that's what I was.
But we actually
at,
repeated yeah. it twice because it was so short.
That's pretty cute. Very lively and nice. Now, when you are choosing pieces of music, are you very consciously choosing pieces that are very different from each other in tone and intent?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. We try and get as much variety in our concerts as we can. We do everything from early music right up to, like, this is as contemporary as it gets. We do pop songs. We do some jazz stuff from time to time. Our hearts, I think, lie in the classics, classic choral pieces. But we want to make the experience of our concert to be just something that everyone is going to love. So
that's a variety.
And one of the unique things about Strata is that I don't choose the literature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally in choirs, the conductor is also what is called the artistic director, and he or she would choose the repertoire. But Strata forms a spontaneous committee, and they meet together over the summer, and all kinds of fascinating suggestions arrive, and they choose the literature, and they hand it over to me and say, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. We are of the... We believe that four brains are better than one, so four or five. So we have a committee of people that choose the music.
And I thoroughly enjoy that. I mean, I don't have to bear that burden, but just steer the ship.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That's good. Mm-hmm. You get to do your thing and divide it all out, and it's all very democratic, it sounds like.
Yes.
It's great. It is. Let's talk about some of the people you have in your choir.
Yeah, we have an amazing group, actually. We have all kinds of people with high-powered professional careers that all come together. Like we have, Kim is an MD. We have
Kim McMillan.
Lori is...
Lori Shendel Martin?
Yeah,
She teaches nursing.
She's
Ryerson.
A PhD nurse.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Kate's a professional musician.
That's Kate Ward.
Abigail. There, we just heard Abby's composition.
Abigail Richardson.
We have two professional violists.
Yes, Elspeth Thompson and Terry Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Brian Power, he's a professor of music at Brock and a violinist.
We have the acting head of physics and astronomy, I think, at McMaster.
Christine Wilson,
yeah.
yes. Yeah. And Matt Cooper is professor emeritus of anthropology. It
goes on and on.
Fun group of people. We come from all these diverse professions, but we all just come together for the music. And,
lovely.
And it's a marvelous, marvelous group.
Yeah, there's a wide variety of voices in the sense of some are trained and some aren't, but all are excellent choristers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wonderful thing is, just because you're a great singer doesn't make you a great chorister.
Absolutely.
Choir is a different animal from a solo.
Right.
Yeah. So it's these folks come together to make music together.
And, right. Do you ever feature a solo?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, yeah. Absolutely.
We have soloists within the group for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And so you just decide. Do people say I'd love to do a solo on this one, or does somebody say I want you to do the solo on this, or how does that come about?
Bit of both. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just know the right voice. We have the right voice to do that song.
Yes.
So, and everyone's usually fairly willing. There's a few. We have to twist arms sometimes, but.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and you have somebody in your choir whose voice I absolutely love, and that is Cheryl Tiglar.
Yeah.
She is.
Cheryl and Peter are a wonderful couple.
Cheryl and Peter, boy.
And Peter is also in the group.
In there too.
Oh, my gosh.
Alto and tenor, yes.
Yeah.
I'm looking. Oh, yeah, here he is on the list.
Yeah.
Let's just go through and name everybody you have in your group, just for the fun of it. Just the sopranos. Tell us who you have as sopranos.
Okay, we have Rebecca Clifford, Victoria Cooper, me, Kim McMillan.
Beverly
Kim McMillan, Lori Shindle Martin, and Kate Ward.
Okay.
Altos are Paula Papke, Abigail Richardson, Liza Sheard, Cheryl Tiglar, Elspeth Thompson, and Christine Wilson. Tenors are Paul Hawkins, Brian Power, Gord Simmons, and Peter Tiglar. And the basses are Jeff Ball, Terry Ball, Tim Boyd, Michael Brooks, Matt Cooper, and Garth Greaves.
Okay. And now, Gord Simmons, is he the young fellow who used to have the long ponytail and stand on this side of the
Gord
road?
Gord the singer.
Yes, Gord. Yeah, he's been on the program before.
He was saying so.
I love his voice, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's fabulous.
Beautiful.
Oh, he did the,
Northwest Passage.
Yes. We did the Northwest Passage to finish off our O Canada concert, and he did the part of, come here.
Brain freeze.
Geriatric brain.
Rogers.
Okay. Stan Rogers, thank you.
Stan Rogers. Yeah.
He did the Stan Rogers solos in it. That was fabulous. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, I love the Stan Rogers work. So that just sounds like such a fun group, such a wonderful group that you've got
really
there.
It is, it's really marvelous.
Yeah. Monday nights can be a bit of a party atmosphere sometimes.
So Monday nights is when you
Monday
get together.
Monday nights, 7:30 to 9:30, we just
rigorously.
Actually, the group is wonderful. They don't even want to take a break. We just steamroll through and work in detail as necessary, or just hammer out the notes.
Well, let's talk about how you learn a song, because it's a complex business, because it's not just a simple melody. You're learning parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so do you each go off with your written music and learn it that way?
That would be wonderful. I think many do. Yes, they take it seriously.
Yes, we do.
When you first read a piece, it's like exploring your garden to see where the weeds and the flowers are. And if you see the weeds, then hopefully a good choruser will just make a big, quick circle on the music and say, that's the part I'm going to have to work on.
It's a troublesome part.
Yeah. So as me as a conductor, I'm out there listening to this, and I have to kind of discern, okay, what needs some attention? What can I trust the group to work with? And at certain points during the process, we have, 10, 7, 8, 9, something. It varies from concert to concert. But at some point you say, okay, folks, do we need to stop and deal with this in rehearsal now, or are you going to go home and learn the notes? Because the notes are the basic. I mean, that's putting on the skates before you even start to skate. So once
do you always sing a cappella?
No.
Okay.
That's a lot of our repertoire.
Yes.
Acapella.
Yeah.
So once the notes are learned, then it's just bringing out the musicianship that's already there and making sure that it's a unified approach to the piece. And sometimes it emerges. Sometimes I have to shape it. Sometimes I might be more directive, but I respond to what I hear, and we go from there.
Okay, and when you say shape it, you mean like louder here, soft, and
all
down
those things,
over there?
Yeah. Tempos, direction of the phrases, all
okay.
those things. And just listening for voices that need to be tempered or blended or whatever, and make sure we're breathing together, and just unifying. It's ensemble, mm-hmm. unifying, being together.
Wonderful. You know, they say singing in a choir is on the list of the 10 things that you can do to prolong your life and enrich it. It's one of the things that's on that list.
Absolutely.
You know, there's
I'm
things
a great
like,
believer.
There's
yes.
things like flossing your teeth and stuff, which
yeah,
aren't
but that's
quite,
not
as,
quite
much fun.
As much fun.
But
well, my philosophy is if we don't go home happy, then I haven't done my job.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
that's a
Absolutely.
Very refreshing approach for a conductor. Because you're kind of known as little temper tantrum throwers, I got to tell you,
that's
Gordon.
Why we got him, because he's not like that.
I have worked with amateur volunteer choirs most of my career, and I've had audition choirs too. But if they're volunteer, then you want them to come back next week.
Sure.
They must.
Yeah.
And so you cannot abuse them in any way, you know. Yeah. I mean, they've got to want to come back because they had such a good time.
What happens if you have people coming in late and
we start anyway?
Yeah, you just go without them.
We start
them,
right
you don't
at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I mean, some people's lives are complex.
Sure,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's always reasons, but if the majority are there, well, we start. That's it, mm-hmm. And I finish on time. I'm very, very conscious of the responsibility I have to manage people's time.
Yeah,
I will ask permission to go over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to run a rehearsal as efficiently as I can without being, you know, anal about it. Mm-hmm. But make sure that everything we do is meaningful, that there's a reason why we're repeating this, that you can go home thinking you've accomplished something and I haven't wasted your time.
Mm-hmm.
But I also haven't abused your time either.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, sounds perfect.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty close to perfect. My goodness. It's,
oh,
you
man.
Know, you
now
feel...
Now I'm going to be scared on Monday night.
It's...
Got well, a lot to live up to, buddy.
Yeah, it's been proven that endorphins are released, you know, when in choral singing.
Yes, for the singers.
Yes.
How about for the conductor?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty tired when I go home,
yeah.
And I hope the singers are too. I hope they've worked, yeah. But I'm flailing my arms around and listening on many dimensions all at once. So
yes.
it's hard work.
How hard is it not to sing if you're also a person who loves to sing?
I have learned not to do that because the instinct is there.
Yeah, I would bet.
Yeah, and especially with the worldwide shortage of tenors.
Yes.
I sometimes find myself singing the tenor part, not in strata, but in other choirs, and certainly in my Guelph group, which is a group of no auditions, no skill needed, just show up. It's a community choir, and it's a different animal altogether. But I soon find myself filling in the blanks because I'm not hearing the part clear enough. So
yeah.
I start, wrong thing to do, not a healthy thing for a conductor to do. It's just, yeah, my instinct to sing.
Just can't do it. Oh, that would be hard. That would be the hardest thing probably about
Sometimes
conducting.
It has been.
Yeah. Well, when you have your good days with your throat, I hope you just wail. Get it out of your system. Take a long shower. Okay, so you're not open to new members. We have to tell our listening audience it's too bad if you've been dreaming of joining this group. You can't do it. I'd like to know who your mentors have been. You've told me a little bit about Glenn Dawson.
Yes.
Who's, in terms of choral music and the kind of music you make, who do you like to listen to?
Oh, Musica Intima is definitely one of the most gorgeous ensembles. The Alora Festival Singers, mm. yes. What about Vancouver Chamber Choir? Those are all really top-notch.
Yeah, I grew up really in my head. I think I heard the British Cathedral Choir.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a wonderful thing this summer. I was at a conference in England, and one of the the lady conductors was saying that David Wilcox and King's College, Cambridge, have done for choirs what Barbie dolls has done for women. Given us an impossible image to live up to.
That's a great one.
You know, but in my head, I think I hear that the purity of sound and the richness of the men. And I think that's really, when I listen to Canadian choirs and many, many European choirs, they're different from American choirs in many ways. And I think that's part of that shading of a Canadian choral sound is the purity of the ladies' sound.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you listen to many choirs, when I listen to choirs from the U.S., they tend to be less pure. They allow a lot more vibrato, let's say, for example, in especially the women. And that makes a very different choral sound. But I think Canadian choirs, by and large, very much follow that
the British tradition.
That British tradition.
Doesn't surprise me a bit. Do you sing in the May?
In the May.
Do you sing in the May? I had friends who were from York in England, and they said that they used to go to the cathedral on the last night of April and wait until midnight, and then they would sing in the May, and they would sing all night.
I've never heard that either.
I just assumed maybe it was a British tradition that you all,
maybe it is,
you all do this. Well, ever since they told me this 30 years ago, I have intended to sing in the May, but I've not made it yet. I haven't managed to do it yet. But it would be wonderful. Imagine that as the light comes up, you know, singing in the May. Beautiful concept. Okay, I want to hear another song, and we're getting low on time. So can we play the Log Driver's Waltz next?
Yes, that would be your track two there.
Track two. Anything you want to tell us about that one?
Well, this was, I don't know whether anybody remembers, but back when we were...
Kate and Anna McGarrigle.
Yeah, exactly. Kate and Anna McGarrigle, the National Film Board.
And I think it was written by, wasn't it written by
Wade Hemsworth,
who's got a Hamilton connection?
And I remember growing up watching this video and just loved it. And when we were planning this O Canada concert, Rebecca, one of our planning committee, she said, oh, we should do that. And we looked and looked and looked. We finally found an arrangement, and it's really a fun arrangement.
All right, great.
So let's have a listen.
Let's have a listen to the Log Driver's Waltz sung by the Strata Vocal Ensemble.
Thank you.
Well, we'll fade out that raucous applause, but my gosh, I feel like joining in instead of fading it out. That was fabulous.
It was so much fun. It was a wonderful arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we heard the crystalline purity of your voice just kick out there at the top of the...
That was white. Me on the top, yep.
That's such a fun song, those log drivers.
Oh,
Love it.
And Gord, as our conductor, he actually started to waltz.
Is that when people started to laugh?
It was really fun.
And that was when your audience started laughing? So when did you actually record these? Where were you performing at the time?
At McNeil Baptist in Westdale.
Okay, and that's where you usually perform your concerts? Let's get you to tell us about what you have coming up so that our listeners can come and hear you live.
Okay, well, we are planning a Remembrance Day concert on Sunday, November 13th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at McNeil Baptist, which is 1145 King Street West in Hamilton. And we're going to be doing all kinds of classic repertoire, the Randall Thompson Alleluia, the Brahms How Lovely Are Thy Dwellings, a song by Peter Aston, and a lovely setting of the Kontakion by Canadian composer Stephanie Martin, as well as some jazz arrangements of some of the popular songs of the war years. And we're going to have with us a group called What the Folk. And it's a group of folk musicians who are equally at home in concert or in your local pub. And they're all instrumentalists as well as vocalists and led by Terry Ball. And his sons, Jeff, Graham, and Len, sing with them.
So again, it springs from population in the choir.
I was going to say, didn't you say Terry Ball was in your group?
Exactly. It comes organically from ours.
He's going to be doing double duty that night.
That's right. So that'll be fun. And then our Christmas concert, we're going to have Sunday, December 4th, again at 3 p.m. And this will be a charity concert. All the proceeds will go to Wesley Urban Ministries to support the wonderful group work that they do in our community. Mm-hmm. And we do kind of a variety show. We do some standard choral fare. We have a few carols to sing along for the audience. And then we allow some of our personnel who have all these talents to...
Strike
out on their own, right? So we'll have an instrumental group. Well, What the Folk will be back with us, and there'll be solos and duets and trios and that kind of thing.
Okay. So you've got Remembrance Day, and that's Sunday, November 13th at 3 p.m. at McNeil Baptist.
That's correct.
Okay, and then you've got your Christmas concert for Wesley Urban Ministries, and that's Sunday, December 4th at 3 p.m.
That's
so both
correct.
On a Sunday at 3.
Yes.
And both at McNeil Baptist.
That's right.
And you've got more coming up, I think.
Well, in the spring, yes, we have a concert planned for Earth Day, Sunday, April 22nd, again at 3 p.m. Tales of Earth and Sky, and that's going to be a fun concert. We're doing Eric Whitaker's composition, Leonardo Dreams of His Flying Machine. It's actually in 11 parts.
And
mind is boggled.
And it's a musical picture of Leonardo dreaming of his flying machine and then the sounds that his flying machine makes when it takes off.
Wow.
It's quite a fantastic piece of music. So that's kind of the center. And then we're doing all kinds of other songs, Vaughan Williams' Shakespeare songs, Stanford's The Bluebird, Rudder's Windy Nights. And we have... one of Abby's students is Tyler Versluis, and he's done a new composition called Live With Me on Earth, and we thought that was very appropriate for the Tales of Earth and Sky. So we'll be premiering this, world premiere of this
piece.
Oh, yes,
sounds
the local
wonderful.
Composer.
And that is Sunday, April 22nd at 3 p.m. at McNeil Baptist.
That's
so
right.
You do everything on a Sunday at 3 p.m. and everything at McNeil Baptist. Okay, give us your website coordinates one more time.
Okay, it's www.stratavocalensemble.ca.
Okay. It just sounds marvelous. When you describe the flying machine one, it's as if you are creating with your voices a visual.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
It's designed like a choral opera, a little mini opera with sort of dialogue and you can just see the action as you listen to the music.
That's
terrific.
Wonderful. Now, you said that there were 11 parts in that one, mm-hmm. about the flying machine. How many parts were there in the Log Driver's Waltz?
Oh, there were quite a few in there, too.
Four ladies' parts and probably three men's parts anyway, right. And then the solo.
So at least seven.
And then the descant.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, it sounded incredibly complex.
Oh, yeah. It was thick, yeah. Well, we're our own accompaniment there, right? I mean, the doo-wops are doing that.
So the simplest piece you would ever do would be four parts?
Yes.
That would be the simplest.
Yes.
My goodness. Are you thinking of maybe trying out for awards or anything? Because you really seem to be right up there.
Well, I'm always game. It's getting the rest of the group to
and you do
come
have
along.
To,
yeah, it's going to be extra
and
effort.
It's extra effort, and everybody has very busy lives.
Yeah.
So, every year I say, come on, guys, let's put a few things on recording. And every year it's like, oh, well, maybe next year. So I'm hoping that maybe this year we'll get a few things done in a really good recording without the audience squirming in their seats.
Well, so you don't have a CD available for people to buy, but you think that might be in the works someday?
Well, I would love it to be.
That's another major project, that's for sure.
I mean, that's on my bucket list.
Yeah. Yeah, you need 3 or 4 days to just get it done and do it right.
Right. Oh, well, good luck. I hope you do. I would love to listen to this, you know, in the car driving along. Just, it would be so energizing. It's beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, our hour is just about over.
Wow.
So I know it goes so fast, mm-hmm. especially when you have good music that you're playing as well. And we do want to get one more piece in to close the hour. So the piece that we're going to play at the very end is Four Strong Winds, one that everybody, I'm sure, knows.
A beautiful Canadian arrangement by a Canadian composer.
That's right.
By a Canadian publisher, too.
Yes.
Yes. And sung by Canadians.
Yeah, there you go.
As Canadian as it gets. Okay, and this is Ian Tyson, right, who
yes.
wrote it, and Ian and Sylvia made it famous,
That's right.
Who's done this arrangement? Do you remember?
Is this one,
this is
I can't remember whether this is Larry Nichol or...
Well, it doesn't matter.
I think it is Larry Nichol.
I think it's Larry Nichol, and he's the one that has
Cypress Choral
music.
Press, yeah.
Yeah, Cypress Choral music. That's where we bought it from. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, wonderful. So we're going to go out tonight with Four Strong Winds. And before we do that, I'd just like to thank our guests so much for being here tonight. Thank you, Gordon Adnan.
Well, and thank you, Bernadette. It's been delightful.
And thank you, Beverly Leslie.
Thank you.
Of Strata Vocal Ensemble. I hope our listeners are as excited as I am and will get out to McNeil Baptist every now and again in Westdale and hear you guys live. It'd be just thrilling.
That would be wonderful. Oh, and we have student prices, only $5 for students.
Okay, $5 for students. Good to know. All right, well, thank you so much for being here tonight, and we always thank our listeners as well for tuning in to Art Waves. Next week, I'm going to be speaking with journalist Jeff Mahoney about his life and career and work, and that will be another fascinating conversation, I know, and I hope that you'll join me for that. And until then, this is Bernadette Rule wishing you a good night on the shores of Lake Ontario.